Hello and welcome to Mystical and Mysteries, the podcast. Join your host, Olivia Dibert, as she talks about true crime with a psychic medium twist. She will be spotlighting missing persons, cold cases, and paranormal investigations, and featuring interviews with experts in their field, psychic medium roundtables, and covering any and every topic under the metaphysical umbrella. Now, let's get into today's episode.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Mystical Mysteries. I'm super excited about this episode. I have Terry with me today. And I met Terry, she probably doesn't remember, but I met Terry in one of Pam Coronado's classes, and they did a dream class. And I found it so absolutely fascinating that I wanted to bring her here on Mystical Mysteries, because I think this is a conversation that needs to be had, because it's more than just spirituality. This is like some good head stuff. So Terry, I'm going to let you go ahead and introduce yourself.
All right. Thank you. Well, I started studying dreams back when I was a teenager, and now I have grandchildren, so it's been a while. When I was, kind of in that transition, 14, 15, I had a dream that woke me, being chased.
Yeah.
And when I turned around, I made myself turn around in the dream, and this voice said, "Listen to what I'm trying to tell you." So it all kind of started from there, and it's been a really wild ride. It's amazing. We spend a third of our life sleeping, and we never look at our dreams. So there's a lot there to explore. I've been astrologer for probably 40 years now. And I use dream work and tapping and other resources with that. And yeah, I just love exploring it. The Edgar Cayce materials were probably the only metaphysical resources around when I started. And he was called the Sleeping Prophet. So that's a little bit about me. I'm originally from Texas, and I now live in California.
Nice. So I will tell you, I think when I took the class is when I was introduced to, I think it was you that was saying, it's a really good idea to have a dream journal by your bed and title the dream, date the dream, time the dream if you can. And I started doing that, and I started seeing like certain patterns of certain dreams. And I really liked that. And so what I ended up doing was every time I had a dream, I would journal it as best as I could remember, because I'm telling you, as soon as I wake up, I'm like, oh, why did I not write it down when I first woke up? Because it's the details of my dreams. I just lose it. And I'm like, oh, but I also try to write underneath, like, what's going on in my, whether it's in my life or my unicorn life. Because sometimes as soon as I dream, I know exactly what it's for. It's a little bizarre, but I know what it's for. And so I'll write down like, this is what's going on in my unicorn life, and this is what's going on in my real life. So I find that really helps.
It's not a passive thing.
Right.
It's probably the easiest thing to do. And any dream book you pick up or any class you take is going to tell you the same thing. People say, "I don't dream." I think they did a study where they, said, they wouldn't let people sleep. Dream, they let them sleep, but they wouldn't let them dream. So they would wake them up every time they would see rapid eye movement, and they started getting psychotic. So we do dream. It's just a matter of kind of reminding yourself, hey, I want to remember, or giving yourself an affirmation that you're saying as you go to sleep, tonight I'll remember my dreams. And after you do that for a while, what happened for me is I said, when I wake up in the morning, because then I would wake up, you know, we have these 90-minute cycles as we're sleeping and that we get into dreams. And that last one around 4:30 is the most kind of vivid, I think. It's the one we tend to remember the most.
Right.
And if you don't write it down, like you said, it'll just kind of evaporate on you.
And it's amazing because I have to roll over in the middle of the night. Like, oh, and the other thing was I was trying to retrace my dream before I roll over, because there's something about me rolling over and writing it down that I don't remember. Like, I'm like, I know I'm missing details. And so I have to like retrace my dreams if it wakes me up. And especially when it's that magic hour of like 3 and 5, like when I dream, I know that those dreams for me are, they're there for a reason. And so I always try to write those ones down, because I think I dream all the, I dream all the time. In fact, my husband the other day said, it was so creepy. You said hello in another voice. It sounded like a man, but you said it. And I think, hey, let me ask you this. Is it real? I feel like I can dream on demand almost. Like I will set my intentions before I go to bed. And if I'm working on a case and I'll say, I'll invite people in to my dreams and say, it's okay for you to come to me in dreams with, you know, your best intentions. And I know I'm protected and, you know, but I invite you in, you just can't take my energy, but come and talk to me in my dreams. If it's easier for you to communicate that way, come on in. So I think I invite people in and they actually show, and I don't always remember. Is that typical, or is that, do you know anything about that?
I think it's really dependent, not 100%, but a lot on your intention, like you said, of what you want. And, you know, just to address a minute ago when you said waking up, you've got to get in the same position as when you woke up. So if you wake up from a dream and you roll over, you kind of, you know, jinxed it. You've got to get back in that exact same position and you can re-enter the dream. Sometimes you can sit up and go into a meditation where you're like almost trying to sleep. To me, that's like meditation. You're trying to sleep, but you're in that in-between state and it'll come back to you if you will meditate like just 10 minutes first thing in the morning. But as far as calling something in, last night I said, you know, my incubation was, what do I need to share? What do I need to, what would help people most in today's dream time, you know, in our time together. And absolutely, I got a lot of messages coming through. And it's funny because the dream belongs to the dreamer. And no one can interpret your dream for you, and no one can tell you what it means, because the symbology is yours. What I mean by that is, if you dream about a chihuahua and I dream about a chihuahua, the dog, I got bit by one. So let me tell you, that's my football dog. And I'm sorry, I'm a dog lover, but I've got a friend that carries one around in her purse. So if we both dream that dog, it's telling us emotionally something different.
Right.
And that's what you've got to figure out for your own self. What is the dream saying to you, even if it's a nightmare?
That's so, let me ask you this. So symbols, like, do you start writing down your own meaning of symbols when you start doing dreams? Do you recommend people doing that?
Yes, because, and amazingly, there are a lot of that are kind of universal. So like we've all dreamed, you know, being chased. We've all dreamed of being naked. We've all dreamed of not being able to find the classroom, you know, those or being in water. So all those are kind of universal symbols. Everybody kind of dreams those. So you can kind of get similar, you know, meanings, but there's still a difference. So the best example I could tell you is when I was in Texas, if something was heading my way that was going to be a big upset, I dream of a tornado. I'd see a tornado in my dreams, and then inevitably, you know, the site would hit the fan.
Right.
But now I'm in California and I get this tsunami. I got this tsunami wall of water last time I had a really big change. And that's usually what it is. It's like saying, hey, you know, it was right before COVID and I saw this big tsunami thing and I'm like, what was that?
Right.
You know? So it's just kind of preparing you. And so you've got to decide it instead of saying, oh, wow, that's so scary. I don't want to think about it. Oh, no, no. That's your psychologist. That's your personal psychologist. And you just say, what are you trying to tell me?
Oh, I love that. That should be, I think, what I write after I have my dream. What are you trying to tell me?
Mm-hmm. So let's say you dream about a high school boyfriend. You know, one of my friends was saying she was dreaming about this high school boyfriend. And she goes, why am I dreaming about that guy? And I said, well, who's around you right now that takes on his personality?
Right.
So it's almost like you have to, I call it get gestalt. And gestalt means you become every single thing in the dream. Like you say, okay, now I'm that boyfriend. What am I trying to tell you? What am I here to say? What is the meaning of me showing up right now? You have to befriend all of it, even the tiniest detail, like fingernails. What color are they? You know, is it day or is it night? Are you inside? Are you outside? And if you keep that journal, you'll find that the longer you keep it, the more detail you get.
You know, it's funny that you said you can go back into your dreams because when I was younger, I used to do that all the time, unintentionally. Well, not necessarily unintentionally, but I'd be like, oh, that's that. I don't know if I really liked a dream, I just could go right back into it. And it was easy for me to do. I don't even think I try to do that kind of stuff anymore, but I know, I dream all the time. So when I get my psychic impressions and stuff, dreams are like, they're big for me. Sometimes I dream about victims and them telling me things. Sometimes I dream about world events or, like you said, natural disasters. I dream about tornadoes or tsunamis. In my case, I usually find out about a day or two later that, oh yeah, there was a tsunami in the Philippines, or I mean something like that. So if I'm dreaming,
the prophetic.
Yeah. Yes, totally. How do I know? I don't know. Sometimes I just know, but what is the difference?
Yeah.
How do you interpret precognition dreams, I guess, versus a normal dream that's just trying to tell you something from your psyche?
I think they're really pointed in their message. Like, it'd be like a one liner, like, calm is the commander. Or a song. When I was moving to this area, you know, it was a really big deal. I'd lived, you know, in the same place for like 30 years, raised my kids there. And when I moved to the coast, I just got this dream and it was Stevie Wonder and he was singing, "Don't You Worry About a Thing."
Oh, I love that.
And I'm like, all righty then, you know, that's great. Because, you know, it takes a lot of courage to do something big.
Yes.
And then, it's almost like your dreams are there to support you. It's like your guides are there, but in a way that is supportive. It's not ever meant to hurt or harm, it's like that apothecary, that heal or help, you know, that's yes. where you get. And here's the thing. We are the most sarcastic society, and you've got to keep an eye out for puns. So when I was married, my husband is a farmer, and he and his brother were trying to decide, do we buy this place? Do we lease this property? You know, do we spend this money? Do we just, you know? And so that night, my dream was that a farmer and his wife were in the kitchen, food for thought, right?
Right.
And her name was Wyona. And I'm like, Wyona, why own it?
Yeah.
And that was it. But it took me a while to get it, right? Wyona.
Right.
Her name was Wyona.
Well,
and so I told him, I said, why own it?
What, you know, that goes back to your own interpretation of, like, you know what I mean? Like, I would have never have guessed that, but it wasn't my dream. You know what I mean? And so I totally understand that. I had a really odd dream. This was probably about 3 years ago, but it stuck to me. Like, I didn't even need to write it down. It's something I won't ever forget. It was the weirdest dream. I lived in California, was born and raised. Moved out here to the mountains of central PA, and I love it out here. But I had a dream a couple years ago that I was driving down the street from my house here in Pennsylvania, and there was a car in front of me that had an older couple that I do know, and they were in the car driving. And then as I'm following behind them, I saw a motorcycle coming up from behind me. And they passed me on the road, and it was the same couple that was in the car ahead of me that were now on the motorcycle. And long story short, they turned right onto this little side street, and they got in a bit of a collision. It's like the same couple in both the car and the motorcycle, but instead of a collision, it's almost like the motorcycle tore into the vehicle like paper, and it literally ripped. And then there was like little pieces of paper that folded down to the ground. And I have still
like confetti.
Mm-hmm. And I was just like that, because this couple is alive. But I just thought that was one of the weirdest dreams I think I have ever had. And I was like, is it trying to tell me like the veil is thin? Is it trying to tell me? I still have a hard time with that one, because I'm like, I have no idea what all of that means. Have you heard of anything like that?
So, you know, when you're listening to someone's dream like that, you always want to preface it with, if this were my dream.
Right.
So if it were my dream, ours are the body, you know, the part about think about your association with their personality or their emotional state. Or the first thing that I was thinking was, you know, if it were my dream, are they choosing a different lifestyle? Are they trying to get back to a time when they were more carefree? Because a motorcycle to me is freedom.
Yeah.
In my symbology, you know, and like the relationship, yeah, they're together, but there's something that's kind of needs to pass by what passed by, pun.
Right.
Pass by and break apart the old kind of maybe tradition or paradigm, or this is what it's supposed to look like in your marriage when you get to this thing. And could you blow that up? But it's still a party, because confetti's a party.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's what I'm thinking, is something about maybe, is there something about, CPR for a relationship.
Right. It was,
you know,
yeah. And I was like, why would it be that couple? I hadn't thought about them in a long time. I hadn't recently seen them or anything. Here's the weird thing. About 4 days later, I was at their son's house and he randomly started talking about how his dad had a group of friends and he's the only survivor and they all passed at a young age. One died in a motorcycle accident. One died in a car accident. One died, you know, so he was telling me all these, or just generally speaking, but I was like, well, is that weird that I dreamt about his mom and dad and it was a motorcycle and a car. It was I still couldn't interpret it. I was like, that is so wild. Why would I pick that up? Yeah, it was crazy.
Right.
Yeah, I guess some dreams are just meant to, like, I wrote it down. I figured someday it would make sense to me.
Well, there's a thing that you can do as well. You can, you know, like do a short meditation and go back into the dream and change the ending.
I never even thought about that.
I mean, it's just something you can do to work with it, you know, where you go, let's say, maybe not this dream because it's not traumatic, but if it were and it were scary, that there's a technique that you can just go back, get in a really safe place and think about, okay, here's how it went. This is what happened. And then get to this point and then you add whatever ending you visualize, the ending that you want to see. It's almost like you're kind of going back in and reclaiming your power.
Right. Oh, yes, totally. I love that. Mm-hmm. I never, ever, ever, ever thought about sitting down with a dream and meditating on it. Maybe even just for meaning or understanding, not, you know, if you have something that's a little bit more traumatic and you want to change the ending, that's awesome. But also to help you understand the dream, I never even thought about sitting and meditating with it.
Yeah, there's so many really interesting things happening with dreams right now. There's a guy out of Santa Barbara, Stephen Eisenstadt, and he has a dream tending course that is Jungian, and it's really a lot of, it's very psychologically based, and they talk about tending, observing, and noticing what resonates in the imagery versus interpreting. Like not trying to figure it out, but just say, wow, who's visiting now?
Right.
And so you're looking almost for these archetypal patterns. It kind of reminds me of Carolyn Miss and the way she, you know, she says, we each have a child, a victim, a prostitute, and a saboteur. We all have these archetypes of power, and they're not good or bad. They're just how we manage power in our lives.
Right.
And so these different images that show up, how are we working with them? And what are they, how are they directions that can empower us?
Right. Wow. That I love that. That's so cool. And then also using that for dream recall, do you think that's a possibility? Sitting down and trying to, like, how do you try to recall something you can't remember?
Yeah. If you have I wouldn't discount a snippet, you know, just something that's short. Or a one-liner, just write it down. It doesn't, you know, you don't have to, like I said earlier, you don't have to really make sense of it. It might show up. It might be like a precognitive thing. It might be, the other thing about what I wanted to bring up was lucid dreaming. So Robert Wagner wrote some books on lucid dreaming. And it's this, you're dreaming and you kind of have this reality check of what is it when you're dreaming that could make you realize, hey, I'm dreaming right now. So that all of a sudden you can direct the dream. It gets really fun. I mean, not that you can do it all the time, but when you can, you might see all of a sudden you can breathe underwater or you can fly, or you're talking, like you said, to someone who's crossed over.
Yeah.
And that used to be mine. I would see my grandmother and I would say, oh, wow, hey, I'm dreaming because you crossed over. And, you know, I'd like fly like Superman or something. But there's a lot of fun things that you can do with dream work, especially when it comes to your creativity.
Yeah, totally. You know, what's so funny is that you just mentioned, you know, dreaming about someone who's passed. Visitation versus dreaming, is it all the same? Is it different? What's your opinion on that?
I'm sorry, on what again?
Visitations. Like, I always thought, you know, is it a visitation or is it a dream? People ask me that all the time.
I think it's real. That's that thing again, you know, every person has to decide for themselves, but every time, one of my family, and it's almost always family that I see. If it's a friend, it's more of a voice for whatever reason, but, they're in their prime.
Yeah.
They're not the age that they were when they passed. They're not, you know, they are in their, I would say, late 30s, early 40s. I mean, that's what I could consider prime.
Right.
They're in their prime and it's vivid. I lost my mom at the beginning of COVID, and about 3 weeks in, she just appeared in front of me and she was just glowing. I mean, I like sat up. It was 3 a.m. I just sat up and started crying because I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, she made it. She's on the other side for sure. I really do believe that we get visitations from family and guidance and all kinds of information. And it's very personal.
You know, it's crazy. After my father passed away, he passed away in 2002. And man, did he give me all kinds of signs. He made my electronics go off. He would call me on the telephone, and you know how you pick it up and no one's there, but it was just right when we were talking about him and him only. And then he started coming to me in dreams. And I tell people all the time, I'm like, even though I call it a dream, it's completely and totally different. And it feels different when it's a visitation. For me, it was so real sitting with him at our old house in Los Altos, California, and sitting at our kitchen table. And it's so funny because I remember thinking, I'm having a conversation with him and he's not moving his lips, but I know exactly what he's saying. And you just remember all the details. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember all the details. And he did that a few times, and I'm going to tell you, I know this sounds crazy and people are going to be like, oh, there she goes again. But I had a visitation from my dad and he put me on a train. He and I were sitting next to each other and he just kept telling me to look, you know, with his finger too, but his mouth wasn't moving, but he would say, look out the window, look out the window. And it was like a subway station. And I feel like it was a subway station in heaven because it was all white. There were staircases, there was archways that went to nowhere. Like, I couldn't see where they went, but I know I wasn't allowed off the train, but he was showing me all these, this really, really cool substation. And I just remember thinking like, this is as high as he can take me. Is that, that was the feeling I had. And I remember thanking him and saying, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. Thank you for showing me this. And I tell, and again, nothing things happen for a reason. It was like 3 weeks later.
Sure.
I saw this lady, she painted this painting and it had archways and staircases. And she was an observer from down below. And I was like, I've seen this before, except I was underneath those archways. I wasn't far away looking at it from a distance. I was underneath them, but it struck me as so odd that she painted my dream. It was crazy.
Well, almost sounds like your dad gave you a precognition.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I was like,
that's fabulous.
I was like, this was the coolest trip to heaven I've ever had. Like that's how it felt. Like this is the subway before you go all the way up. Like this is where you kind of go first to do whatever. And then off you go, you know, either to school. Like, I have been shown like school for those that need a little bit extra schooling that weren't quite behaved here on earth. And then, or you move up, and that's what I felt. And so things like that.
Oh, interesting.
I'm gonna tell you, that was probably one of the coolest things, but it was so tangible. Like I could feel the material on the seat I was sitting on. I could tell you the colors of the train and the area, and oh, it was just so cool. It was the coolest thing. But yeah, I don't know.
There's if it were my dream, I would think that those are levels, you know, like you said, like there's a thought or that we're attached by a silver cord. And when I used to fly in my dreams, there was one night and I was like, I'm just going to go to the stars. And they're like, oh yeah, no,
yeah.
There's a silver cord and you can only go so far. And I was like, what? So, there's a thing where, I believe it's Colette Reed, and she's got some dream books, and they're very different from anything you're ever going to see out there. And they're kind of one-liner books is what I call them, but she says that observing dreams are instructive. And if you're participating, it's more of a learning or initiation, kind of initiatory. And that, I know that's a lot to wrap your head around in just a couple of sentences. You really have to get in the dream and start watching what's going on.
Right.
And decide for yourself, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense to me. I mean, the fact that mm-hmm. you are the only person that can really interpret your dream. I mean, that totally makes sense to me because, I mean, the only thing I can equate it to is, I know that people come to me and said, I talked to a psychic and this is what they told me. What do they mean by this? And I'm like, here's the deal. I can tell you what I pick up. But I cannot tell you where they're coming from because some of my clairs are the strength of my clairs are going to be different than that psychic's. And so what that means to them may not mean the same to me. So it's all about interpretation. So yeah, I can't tell you what they mean, you know, when they say this. I can give you what I think, you know, and then you can just compare the two and learn from both and see if it you know, matches with what you think or whatever. But yeah, that's really difficult to do.
I think probably the best primer, like if you can find it, and, you know, I know it's challenging because it's an older book, but it's called Mystical, Marvelous World of Dreams. And it was written by Wilda Tanner. And what makes that book so amazing is that she kind of it's almost like an encyclopedia A to Z. And so she'll say, you know, like animals, body parts, colors, rocks, you know, background settings, people. And she goes through the whole gamut and then your own symbols that you decide.
Right.
But instead of saying this is what it is, she'll say, oh, you had water in your dream or you were swimming. Okay. And then she just makes you brainstorm about it. She'll give you a paragraph and she'll say, okay, was the water clear or was it dark? Was it smooth or was it, you know, rough.
Right.
Was it cold? Was it day? Was it night? And just so there are all these detailed things that you start noticing. You see someone in your dream. What age are they? What color is their hair? What are they wearing? It's a car or is it a truck? You know, are you driving? Where are you sitting? Right. Are you in the back seat? Are you in the passenger side? I mean, there are all these like little nuances that make a big difference. And you'd say, oh, I'm dreaming I'm in a car. Why am I the passenger? I'm like not driving my own car.
I would love a book like that, because I think my biggest problem, even when I work on cases, is coming up with questions. Do you know what I mean? So I know when I work with Pam, and we do things and she's always like, ask yourself questions. And I'm like, I didn't even know that you could ask yourself questions when you're doing a case. So that was all new to me, but I'm horrible at asking myself questions. For me, it's like, did I even think of the right question? So having a guide like that, I know for myself would be great, because it would make me think in a way I'm not used to thinking. What's the name of that book again?
It's Magical, Mystical, Marvelous World of Dreams by Wilda Tanner.
And would you say that's like your favorite book, or do you have a favorite book?
Yeah. Yeah, it's my go-to. It's my go-to. I really don't. I mean, I can tell you other people that have written dreams,
right?
Dream books, and Llewellyn has. There's a gal that Claire Johnson has a book on nightmares, and she goes through the whole gamut of, nightmares and how to work with them. And she's a psychologist, of course. One of the best resources, and it's a ton of fun because you actually participate, is the International Association for the Study of Dreams, the IASD. Every year they have an online dream conference. And what they do is they have these contests, and they'll have a mutual dreaming contest where one night you record your dreams, but your intent is that you're going to dream with all these other people that are in the contest. And I tell you that night you'll dream you're at a party. It's a trip. And there's the lucid dreaming. They have telepathic dreaming. They have a remote viewing contest, precognitive. It's a lot of fun. And then they have all these presenters that will talk about different dreams and different ways to work with them, and they'll have a call for dreams. One year, I believe the guy's name was Haas, last name Haas, but he called for anyone that had been keeping a dream journal for over a couple of years, and he only wanted you to send him the colors that you dreamed, just the colors. So I wrote down all the colors and I did those little tick marks, 1, 2, 3, 4, and you /on the 5. And I sent him all the colors. There were polka dots, stripes, whatever. And he sent me back a full blown, like, Lucier color test analysis of my, it was like a personality evaluation. It was spot on. It was like my thumbprint. And he did all that just from the colors I sent him.
Wow. I'm going to tell you, when I was little, I would dream in color that was so vivid. My only comparison would be, the Wizard of Oz, when she's at the Emerald City, all those different colors. And that's how I used to dream when I was little. And I would dream like that I think I was up into my late teens until it kind of slowed down or stopped. And I wouldn't say stop, but I don't remember the colors being like that before or since then. But I dream in color all the time. I see people's, I see a lot. I always see faces. It's really bizarre, but I dream about faces. And the other day, in fact, I dreamt about this young lady who had like a brown bob and very young. And I was like, why am I dreaming about her? And I called her Sally Field because she reminded me of like a young Sally Field. And that's what I named my dream. Like, but it was such a clear picture of her face. And I think, why would I see that? What's the importance? Does she need help? But again, I didn't ever think about sitting down and meditating about what I needed to learn from the dream. So I love that. I'm going to start doing that because I think that's so important. That's crazy. I know that I can do, you know, I think I was telling you before, I sometimes will set my intentions and say, okay, for instance, I was working on a case. Her name is Cheyenne Morrison. And I literally asked for her to come into my dreams and show me, like, what am I missing? What am I missing on this case? And I did have a dream where I felt like I was inside Cheyenne and she was showing me things. And she showed me the perpetrators. And she showed me all these really intense things. And I thought, that is the coolest thing that I asked her to do it. And she did it. I mean, it doesn't happen every time, but setting my intentions before I go to bed seems to help me with my dreams. Is that something that's, do you do that? Have you heard of that before?
I think it really helps. And I think it makes a definite difference. So you can do even more. We all have this kind of a ritual before we go to bed, you know, we maybe get a glass of water, brush our teeth, whatever you do, but lavender, chamomile, or sweet orange are really good essential oils to use. And then I repeat at least 3 times my intent or an affirmation. Like, it could be a healing, it could be insight, a creative idea. The guy that invented the sewing machine, I used to think it was Edison, but it's another man. And he had everything together, but he didn't know the last piece. And so he took a nap. And during that nap time, he dreamed that soldiers were marching. And they were holding their swords upside down and they were poking the ground and there was a hole in the bottom of the sword. And that's how he got the final piece for the sewing machine. That's where they thread the needle at the bottom.
Whoa.
And so, So a lot of inventions have a lot of inventors have gotten their ideas. And again, Edgar Cayce, his stuff is really fascinating to read. He would dream about someone's health issue, and then he would kind of go into this sleep state, and he would come up with the solution of what they needed to do. And a lot of times, you know, it's thought that if you dream about a body part, that it could be showing you like a side of a wound or something,
right,
or a wound on the body, that's where the health issue is. There's a gal that dreamed that she had this spot on her breast and she was really concerned and she went in the doctor and she made them check it out and it was precancerous. So you can get a lot of things if you're just willing to take some time and look inside.
That's so funny that you said that. So body part, I had a dream one time that I had these round balls on my head and it was right on the part of my hairline, like right, you know, going down from my front to the back. And there was these round balls. And then I was in my dream, I was trying to take them off, but they had teeth and I had to like pull them out of my hair to get them out of my head. And I was like, that was the craziest dream that I had ever had, other than the motorcycle car. Those two always stick out to me. But couple days later, I started reading, or it just kept popping up out of weird things, calcium on the brain. And and I was like, that's so weird that I would dream about these white balls on my head. And then all of a sudden I start seeing literature and like people bringing up calcium deposits in the brain. My mother had dementia.
Alzheimer's.
Yeah. My mother had it. And was after that I really started like watching what I'm eating. You know, I started paying more attention to what causes calcium deposit in my body and in my brain. But you know what's so funny too is that they say calcium deposit also blocks your third eye. And I can't even remember where I read that. It just popped up one day. And I just thought, that's so funny that you just said about body parts. But that is, again, one of my fears, right? Because of my mom and watching her suffer through all the things that she did with Alzheimer's. And I thought, oh, that's my sign to start working on taking care of myself. I always have, but really paying attention to what creates calcium deposits in the brain. So yeah, very strange.
Yeah, there's typically, nightmares too are about insight and healing. Like something needs healing. It's a nightmare is like, look at me. Like you cannot ignore it. And it really stays with you. When someone says, oh, I had this weird dream, and I'm thinking, oh, you're not going to tell us out loud. It's really personal stuff, right? Like losing teeth. You freak out because, oh my gosh, you lost this big tooth. Right. But what if it's just you just are losing a problem? You're letting something go that you don't need anymore.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Letting something go. That's not good.
You know, and you were also mentioning, I think it was with Edgar Cayce, I think, or maybe it was the International Study of Dreams, but you were saying remote viewing in your dream. And that's something I do with my psychic work, especially when I'm working on cases. And I'm pretty good. Like sometimes I enter people's homes and I don't mean to. But I was having dreams kind of like, I would consider them remote viewing, but then some people were saying astral travel. And so I don't know what the difference would be. I mean, you know, we all know that there is like the military training of remote viewing, which, you know, started in the 70s, which is I love it. I love doing all of that. It's something that is totally intriguing. And then astro traveling in the psychic world. I'm wondering if us as in the spiritual world kind of adopted that term of remote viewing, based on the studies and the what is it? It's like a step-by-step process, you know, when it comes to the military training of remote viewing. But in my dream, there's times.
You know, it's almost like one.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry to interrupt. What I was going to say is I think remote viewing is when you're awake and meditating on it. And astral travel is when you're asleep and working on it.
Oh, interesting. Because I'll tell
you. So the astral travel is asleep and remote viewing is awake, but the process is identical. It really is. You don't try in remote viewing, you know, the kind of trick is to not interpret it, not name it, just describe it.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so kind of the same with dreams is you're getting the emotion. What is the emotion of it? And what's the association of the emotion in your waking life?
Right.
And, of course you're doing more concrete work than that, right? You have an end goal, but you can also have goals in your dreams.
Well, and that's
to get information.
And that is weird because I had a dream. I was on like a boardwalk, but I mean, everything was tangible. I could feel the wood under my feet. I had flip-flops on, but I was walking on this boardwalk I knew it didn't look anything like a California boardwalk. The scenery and everything just looks super different. But I even remember like walking into buildings, looking at the shops, everything was so different. And I just knew I was in New Jersey, on the boardwalks in New Jersey. And, I had never been there before. And this was before we actually moved to Pennsylvania. And we hadn't even been thinking about moving at that point. But yeah, it was so tan. I could feel the wind on my face. I knew it was salty air. I knew the ocean was right. I couldn't see it, but it was there because I was walking around at night. But yeah, it was really, really tangible. Would that be considered an astral travel type of dream?
I would think so. Almost lucid, because it's like lucid dreaming where you know you're dreaming, but it's like so vivid that typically is precognitive. Like that's, you know, something that's coming up for you, and that, you know, you'll step into that, like, I don't know, in the future sometime, not so distant.
Yeah. I just thought it was such a weird location, because I was like, New Jersey of all places, really? Like, that's like not even my scope of anything. Like, I never think of New Jersey.
Did you have a case in that area? Or
I didn't.
I think, you know, and there's that thing about who's, you know, it being your dream and your association with it, is that, you know, you've set these intentions, and what was your intention before you went into the dream? And what were you, I mean, and sometimes we just want to go to sleep.
Yeah.
But things will come to us in the shower too, you know, when we're not trying to. And that's the other thing. It's like, when you get really serious, it kind of like locks the door. You need to have fun with it.
Yeah.
Like, don't get so serious. Like, be playful about it. You know, when you were talking about wide awake, you know, like the more remote viewing stuff, Robert Moss, and there's another guy named Martin Duffy, and they have these drumming CDs, and it's shamanic stuff where you just kind of go into a meditation and you listen to this drumming, and you know, this kind of rhythmic drumming kind of gets you in this state, and you're just let your imagination go, and you can take your dream animal with you for protection. And then when the drumming changes at the end of the track, you know, it's time to come back, because there's this kind of re-entering phase. But that makes it fun for people too, so that it's, you're not just kind of sitting in quiet, that you've got this drumming to guide you, and it's really fun too. But those, I know Robert Moss has a ton of classes, and he's really quite brilliant, and a lot of books too.
You snagged me on dream animal. What's that?
Well, think about, if you were to keep a journal for a while and you go back and look, and write down every time you've seen an animal. What is it?
Yeah.
What animal comes in your dream? It might be bear or deer or skunk, or I don't know, turtle. It might be a fish. It might be a bird. For me, I had a white owl. I was just in the dream. I just lifted my arm. I just saw this bird. I lifted my arm, and this white owl landed on my arm and said, "You need to dance and have more fun." And I named my first astrology site White Owl Astrology.
Oh, cool.
Because of that.
Oh, that's so cool. That's so weird. So, I always dream about deer and ravens, always. And ravens, it's kind of a joke. Ravens are all over my house. Like every time I take my dogs out, they're squawking at me. I always say hello, but they're always around my house. It's so funny. And then a weird turn of events the other night, I just dreamt about an eagle. And I thought, that's weird. I never dream about eagles. It's always deer and ravens. I don't know what an eagle represents.
So,
Usually, go ahead. I'm sorry.
well, what's your association to an eagle? When you think about an eagle, what's it make you think about?
It's kind of funny. I think I don't know why. Loyalty, ma being
Mm.
majestic, being rare and unique. Those types of protective, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's a really strong symbol.
It is.
Really strong symbol.
I think that's what caught my attention so much, because I'm like, oh, I'm always like, if I'm meditating, and sometimes they have those guided meditations. Well, your animal's with you and you're walking through the forest, and it's always deers and ravens. It's always deers and ravens. So this one caught me off guard, because I thought, I never dream or meditate about eagles. So something to sit down with.
Robert Moss had a really fun workshop, and part of it, we went into a meditation and we did our totem pole of the chakras. And at each chakra, and this is something that you could do on your own, this is why I'm bringing it up, because it really was quite fun. At each chakra, you would let a dream animal, fish, bird, come to you and be that part. So your first chakra would, and then the next chakra, you would envision what animals coming to take that spot. And you ended up building a totem pole of your chakras with animals.
Oh, that's
And
so
it was
cool.
really amazing. And there's a book by Ted Andrews. He's also on Facebook, I think. But he goes into each animal and its habitat and its kind of cycle, and if it shows up, what does it mean? Especially if you're just out walking and all of a sudden you see a lizard run up, maybe you
Right.
need to detach from something, because how they detach their tail,
Oh, yeah. Shed their skin.
a specific Yeah, or shed yourself somehow, something, transform some way. Or it could be a cycle of thing, like if it's, a squirrel or a spider, maybe you need to watch your dreams more because of the webs. But each one, he has something really specific to say, even common things like ants. Every time I dream about, oh, I've got ants, I've got to be really persistent and maybe work in a team, get
Oh,
other people to
yeah.
help me.
Oh, that's so cool.
So it's interesting. Go back and see if you have been keeping a journal of sorts, or
Yeah.
someone says, hey, I dreamed about this big bear.
Yeah.
Yeah,
That is
and maybe
real.
you need to take those or you need to take that on, take on those attributes
Right.
and integrate them into how you're moving forward to help you move forward.
Oh, too true. Oh, I love that. Yeah, dreaming is amazing. And I think, how many times, if people hear that you're a dream interpreter, they'd be like, what does this mean? What does this mean? Sorry, you can't answer that.
It's great. Yeah, it's great to turn the table and say, what's going on with you right now?
Yeah.
Like it's I think what the why people might not want to look at their dreams is they don't want to know what they know.
Right.
It's a denial. It's just being in denial. And it's probably the one thing, the one thing that keeps us stuck is to not want change to happen.
Yep.
But
Even
dreams kind of show you that where the change is going to happen or it's coming.
Yeah. Well, and right. And that's our subconscious. And it's true. I mean, if you don't want to sit down and look at it, that's saying a lot too, I think. But I know when I do my work on cases, mm-hmm. I always say my subconscious, she already knows. Now she's trying to give me the information into my brain. And, you know, she gets to me any mm-hmm. way she possibly can, whether it's through dreams or meditations or like you said, too. Sometimes she gives me information while I'm in the shower. I'm so open when I'm in water. It's crazy. So,
mm-hmm.
but yeah. Wow. I know people probably wanted to hear this and say, oh, this means this and this means that and this means this. But I mean, it could, if you look up maybe spiritual meanings of certain animals, that might help define your meaning, right? Of what that means. Because I'm sure you're going to feel pulled towards something after having a dream.
Right. Well, and just the universal symbols, you know, if you dream you're naked, chances are you're feeling really vulnerable somehow, or that there's nowhere to hide, or if you're, you know, you can't find a bathroom, you need to release something, or if you're in water, you're probably a lot of emotional stuff going on for you, but again, there's so many nuances to those things, you know, each thing you dream has enough nuance depending on what's going on for you.
Right.
So if a house is really your body and all of a sudden you're in a home and you're going up the stairs, that sounds pretty good. But what if you're going in the basement?
Right.
You know, or, yeah, so, but I, you know, like being in the kitchen for that one dream, you know, and you think, okay, you go in the kitchen to eat, food for thought,
mm-hmm.
you know, that kind of pun.
Yeah, totally.
But, you know, even unpleasantness has a purpose, and to make it an ally instead of a fear is hard.
Yeah.
You know. Because we're just hardwired to, you know, go to the fear place. But
it's so true.
The dream a title and that helps, you know.
Yeah.
And then just go from there.
I was just going to say, one of the biggest pieces of advice that you could give anybody that's really interested in learning more about how to interpret dreams or become a dream interpreter, what would your advice be?
Just start watching your own dreams and ask. We gave some really good resources in the talk, and maybe listen again. And, you know, the planet Pluto is going to be moving into the sign of Aquarius. I know this is a little bit of astrology, but that rules people that like to see the big picture, and inventors, they're more inventors in the sign of Aquarius than any other sign. And we all have a little bit of Aquarius in our chart, but the transformation is going to be for, you know, like looking at the big picture and looking at new ways to transform and look at ideas. And dreams, you know, again, a third of our life is spent sleeping. You know, how can we use that to our advantage, your better resources, and you can trust it because it's between your ears.
Yeah. You know, it's, and that,
yeah.
if someone wants to like get a hold of you and wants to talk to you more about whether it's dream interpretation or astrology, which I would love to invite you back and have a whole astrology thing, because I am the furthest person of being a woo woo. I never grew up with that. So I'm very out of touch with stuff, but I'd love to have you back on a whole episode of astrology if you are open to it.
Oh, sure.
How do people get a hold of you? Where is the best way to get a hold of you? Is that going to be your website?
Yes, it's TerryQuintelAstrology.com.
Great.
and there's information there, mostly about astrology. I don't have anything specific to dream work on there at this time. I typically would address it during an astrology session.
Okay.
And I would use the chart to kind of help, you know, with some of the different ways that you might work with them.
That's awesome. You guys, this was awesome. I can't believe how much, how many resources you gave us, to go back and to look at all this. I have them written all down. I'm even going to go and do some homework on this because my dreams they can be so over the top weird. And then sometimes they're super normal. So it's really interesting to see, like, what does this all mean and how do I interpret it? And, you know, it's, I guess, like everything else, it's not a one size fits all. It's going to be like some general information, but it's really up to us to interpret everything. I mean, that's what I'm pulling away from this.
Yeah. Just be curious and have fun with it. And get a dream buddy, you know, someone that you can talk to that's a little open to it and share your dreams and say, if it were my dream, you know, and just work. You could, you know, definitely check out the International Association for the Study of Dreams. And that dream conference is super affordable and it's just so much fun that, yeah, that's a great resource. And thank you so much for having me. This has been really a fun time. Thank you.
No, thank you for coming. I you know what I'm going to do is I'm doing the totem pole chakra animal thing. That I think is so fascinating.
Yes.
I'm going to go and check out Robert Moss. And because I love like shamanic drumming and all that kind of stuff. So that pulls me big time. I love it. But hey, Terry, thank you so much for your time. What a wealth of information you are with all this stuff. This was great.
Oh, thanks, Olivia. I appreciate you having me on. And I'll see you for the astrology.
Absolutely.
In a few weeks or so. All right.
Stay tuned, Okay. Everybody. Astrology is next with Terry. I'm super excited.
Thanks for listening to Mystical and Mysteries, the podcast. If you liked what you heard, please remember to hit like and subscribe. Have a question for Olivia or have a missing person that needs to be highlighted? Feel free to get in touch. You can reach her at theclaireconnection.com. Until next time, stay safe.